What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, folks, here on Big Blue View's YouTube channel for our post-game live stream, or you might be listening into the post-game podcast that will be going up later. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Fum, and we are going to be talking about the Giants' recent loss to the Dallas Cowboys in Week 5 by a score of 44-20. Giants now at a 1-4 record on the season. And I think that the simple way to lead into this discussion on this game that we just watched, I've played in a number of games in college where there were similarities to what we just observed. And it's honestly one of those games where you kind of just burn the tape. And I bet Joe Judge, as upset as he tends to get after losses, probably came in on something along the sentiment of, all right, you know, let's just get changed. Let's get showered up. Let's get out of here. We'll talk about it on Monday. They're probably not going to watch too much film from it, just simply because of what we saw happen in this game. A large amount of injuries. After all those guys go out, it's felt like the air was taken out of the group of remaining guys that weren't hurt. And as more guys started to get hurt throughout the game, it just felt like there was no juice left for this Giants team. And you can only do so much when you have four injuries in a game, three to major starters. So this is ultimately just going to be one of those games where it's just like, we can't really say or do much about it. Guys need to step up when there's injuries, but you almost have to move past it.
Yeah. And the injuries they had during the game were bad enough. Losing your starting quarterback, losing your starting running back, losing your starting wide X receiver. Yeah. That's a lot for any team. But when the Giants come in, for all intents and purposes, down their starting left tackle, down their starting slot receiver, down their starting flanker, Jabril Peppers kind of isn't a starter at the moment, but he's still an important contributor on that defense as the strong safety star, you know, whatever they call his role on the inside. Yeah. The Giants were coming up against a team that is pretty well built. Definitely has an explosive offense, which we saw. And, you know, they were coming in down a lot of guys. And then to have that many injuries, this game shouldn't have been as close as it was.
Right. This was ultimately already a difficult circumstance, as we've pretty much been talking about throughout the past couple weeks as the injuries have piled up for key spots on this roster. But they hadn't lost Saquon and Daniel Jones yet, and I don't think we had any anticipation that that was going to happen. They played them really well up until the Saquon and Daniel Jones injuries. Like, I think a lot of people thought that the Giants could really pull out a close game because the Cowboys were making really stupid mistakes, like the tipped pick that Lorenzo Carter had, and then the fumbled snap that was recovered in the red zone by the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants ended up getting that football. It really looked like that those dumb mistakes were enough to keep the Giants in a close football game. But the momentum of losing your starting quarterback, who's just starting to get into a rhythm after going, I think it was like 1-for-9 or 0-for-8 at one point because of the amount of pressure that he was facing, getting completely smacked in the head. I knew that he wasn't coming back after seeing what had happened to him. It's really, really hard to bounce back from something like that, especially Mike Glennon, who comes in cold and makes simple mistakes because he just does not have the reps with this team under his belt. It was insurmountable to deal with the amount of things that happened in this game. The Saquon injury, they almost moved past that relatively easy because Devontae Booker was running the ball pretty well.
which we hadn't seen from either running back really so far this season. But Daniel Jones going down and then Kenny Galladay going down is just, I think, too much to recover from.
Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of discussion about Daniel Jones's injury going forward, especially if he has to miss more than 1 week, because that was a nasty looking injury. Him being on the ground is the sort of thing you don't want to see. Him getting up and stumbling as he tries to jog back to the sideline and immediately getting carted off, that is legitimately scary. It wasn't that long ago, Sterling Shepard had some scary concussion issues. Rhett Ellison retired due to a concussion. Brain injuries are serious. And I think there's going to be some, maybe even a lot of discussion about, yes, Daniel Jones's legs are a weapon, but is it really worth it to use your quarterback like that when, once he's outside of the pocket, these are the things that can happen. If he misses multiple games, is it really a difference if it's a concussion versus, he's down and his hand gets stepped on, or if he injured his shoulder, trying to run behind his pads? It is a decision made that absolutely carries risk. That's why running quarterbacks tend not to last all that long in the NFL.
Yeah, the thing is with Daniel Jones is injury. It's something that you really don't like to see for your starting quarterback, that he goes down in that fashion. And I think going a little bit deeper on what to expect now from this Giants group and the guys that got hurt specifically, I don't know when Andrew Thomas will be back. It almost feels like they should probably just hold off on that and keep things slow and maybe not rush him back for any long-term issues. I don't anticipate that Daniel Jones will be able to play against the Los Angeles Rams. That is a team that has a very aggressive defensive line. A concussion like the magnitude that we just saw there, he's probably not going to be good to go in a week. I would anticipate for the long-term safety of Daniel Jones is just his head. They're probably going to take things slow with that. And then we all saw the freaking picture and the replays of Saquon's ankle, which I think was overly shown. Thank you very much. I think that we know for a fact that he's probably going to be gone for a few weeks. The last time that we saw Saquon have an ankle injury, which was a few years ago.
2019.
He was pretty much unusable for multiple weeks. And by the time that he came back, he was hobbling and he still wasn't really 100%. So that's going to be something where they're going to take their time with, because they don't want that to return and lead to other problems. So I would expect the next few games to be without Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I would say the one little bit of good news, and right now we don't know much about Barkley's injury other than it looked like he had a grapefruit for an ankle, is that it wasn't the ankle he had previously injured. All of his other injuries had been on his right side. I believe this was his left ankle. So I don't know if that actually makes things better, but at least it's not that injury or that ankle where he had the high ankle sprain on that he suffered against Tampa Bay in 2019. And it took him 4 or 6 weeks to come back, and he was clearly not the same player when he finally did come back. So hopefully this is just a low ankle sprain. Hopefully there's no ligament damage, beyond what happens when you normally sprain an ankle, and hopefully he'll be able to come back and play well relatively soon.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And separate from what ultimately is the major negatives of this game, which just it was the injuries. There's not much really to dissect because it was a significant number of backups that were in at a certain point. I think that we can also find some positivity in the performance of Kadarius Toney in this game. And we even have somebody who commented it. The fact that he goes 10 for 189 and as everyone else in the receiving group is just gone, not available. Everyone's hurt at this point. They had nobody else consistent to go to. CJ Board, are you kidding me? He's not going to make any plays. John Ross, he's can make some plays, but not consistently, and he's not going to be a 10 reception guy. But I was very, very impressed that when given the opportunity to, Kadarius Toney stepped up. And I think that him not getting onto the field early on in the season was maybe a bigger question mark for the coaching staff, not worth us looking back at. But instead, looking forward, I think Kadarius Toney is going to be a very, very integral offensive weapon on this team for the remainder of his rookie contract. He looks explosive. He looks hard to cover. He looks hard to tackle as well. And that is what we were expecting and hoping for from Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. In fact, I would say hard to tackle more than anything else. He's got the kind of stop-start quickness that Mario Manningham had. His ability to stop and explode in a different direction, it's the kind of thing that just breaks defenders' angles. Sometimes I think he uses it a little too much. At one point, it looked like he tried to juke somebody that wasn't even there. But, yeah, especially if the Giants can get him in space, which I think they're going to need to going forward, over at least over the next couple games until they start to get guys back healthy. I think they're going to have to rely on the quick game. I think they're going to have to rely on just scheming touches for Toney. And also probably Evan Engram as well. He had a nice game. He came up with some catches in the fourth quarter.
Which is rare.
Yeah, well, it's increasingly rare that they even look at him. So I think we kind of have to take what we can get there. But right now, the Giants are going to have to cobble together some kind of an offense. And they're going to have to figure out their blocking schemes. If Andrew Thomas is going to, we'll say not play because he was active, but obviously just emergency break glass in case of emergency depth. If they're going to rely on Nate Solder at left tackle, they're going to have to use that quick game. They're going to have to rely on Evan Engram as a receiving weapon. They're going to have to rely on Kadarius Toney, assuming the NFL doesn't suspend him for that punch, which way to ruin a great game there, kid.
Yeah. That kind of was the bit of the, the dirty mark on a game that was just so good for Kadarius Toney. And I think that, you know, just the closing point here on this game, it is going to be, as we already knew, an uphill battle for the Giants for the remainder of the year. And there was some potential for them to maybe shock a couple teams. The next few weeks are going to feel like a, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It is going it's going to suck. It is going to be a rough couple of weeks because they're continuing to get to the more difficult parts of their schedule. And they now have to do that without their starting running back, most of their receivers, and their starting quarterback. It is going to be a really, really hard stretch. And we'll get to see some younger guys. We'll see what they are capable of. But that's probably the most we're going to get out of those games.
Yeah, and we're going to see Mike Lennon. Well, just yeah, that is what it is. He actually looked pretty good until he didn't.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure everybody was excited this season to see Mike Lennon. And
absolutely.
He did fine, but he ended up throwing that pick six, so that kind of dampened it a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, folks, I think that's going to be it for a loss that really does not have much to be analyzed immediately after. A bit of a somber reaction considering the amount of players that went down with serious injuries in this game, and only hoping for speedy recoveries for Saquon, Daniel Jones, and Kenny Galladay, and Verdarius Williams, and also Andrew Thomas. But
Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Jabril Peppers.
We'll be coming at you guys with a show this week, and you know the topic is to be determined at this point, because not sure how much we can really take away from watching that film except doing a deep dive on Kadarius Toney. But stay tuned for that show coming up during the week. Be sure to hit the subscribe button, and we'll talk to you soon.